G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, WRA. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out this past weekend and enjoyed local pro wrestling. I know we haven't been around for a little while, and there are reasons for that, and I think I go into it a little bit with my guest this week on the show. And long story short is that I think the history of this show, well, since I've taken over as the full-time host of this show, is I've made no real secret about the fact that there are certain things that I battle in my life, and one of them being a bit of downtime, a bit of fighting the black dog, I guess you'd call it, depression and that sort of deal. And it sort of hit me over the last couple of weeks. Not so much that is it's... I'll explain it to you like this. I do a lot of stuff in professional wrestling, with booking, helping people, my own sort of performing, that sort of jazz. And a lot of the stuff that I've taken on had leave me little time to actually do stuff I love, like this podcast. And when I miss a week of the podcast, I feel guilty because I missed a week of the podcast, which means I get depressed about that, which means when I get depressed, sometimes I get like I don't want to do things. And unfortunately, the podcast was the thing about it. I was that. And then that compounded because, again, you miss the next week. And, oh, great, I've done it again. What am I going to do? I really need to get and do another show. I really need to do it. And I don't know why I put it off, because I truly do love doing this show. So hopefully, fingers crossed, after this episode, I'm back in the groove and I'll be able to start churning out some episodes. I know I should be able to. There'll be a lot less on my plate at the moment because I know the Australian Wrestling Alliance has wrapped up for the year up here in Queensland. We still do have Pro Wrestling League, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, and AWA and Pro Wrestling League, of course, work very closely together. So that's a great move for Queensland wrestling, in my opinion, and for everyone involved in Queensland wrestling. Yeah, so we got that. And aside from that, I think my board is pretty much clear. So hopefully I'll be able to get out and get some interviews and talk to some people and get content to you guys that I haven't been able to get to you in the last couple of weeks. And believe me, it wasn't through lack of trying. It's just through the fact that stuff hit me. To be perfectly honest with you, stuff hit me. And it built up and it just, yeah. So anyway, my guest this week is somewhat in this sort of same vein. He is one of the guys that I had on about a year ago for our mental wellness podcast that we did with Mr. Juicy, with Wolf Dog, and of course my guest this week, Big Brody Marshall. We do start by talking all about that sort of stuff and that, but it sort of devolves into just wrestling talk. And really, to be perfectly honest, it was just two mates catching up for an hour, which is great, and it's something that I should do more often. I should call my friends. I should do that. And again, it's all a learning process when you're sort of dealing with the stuff that a lot of people deal with. A lot of people around the country, a lot of people in the industry deal with this same sort of issue. And it's just a matter of finding the markers that start causing it and taking steps to remedy it. And hopefully through this episode, maybe you find some steps yourself, you find some markers that you go, hang on, I do that, I should maybe that's why I'm getting a bit, you know what I mean? That sort of thing, maybe that'll help you, I'm not too sure. But anyway, I had a really good time catching up with my good friend, Big Brody Marshall, and I hope you do too, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Oh, by the way, the sound might be a little bit off on the interview for this one. I was using a new method, which didn't prove to work all that good. So the sound might be a little off, might be a little low on my end, I think. So hopefully it's not too bad and you guys can enjoy this great episode that I think, anyway, this great interview I had with Brody Marshall right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the
uh, Just over a year ago, I did a, well, pretty much one of my most important episodes I ever did here on Unlimited Riot City Wrestling. There you go. Wrestle Radio Australia, where I've talked about mental health with some guys in the industry. I thought that over the next couple of weeks, I would try to get the same guys on just to catch up with them, because it's all about checking in on your mates and making sure everything's fine. And although we should do it more than once a year, obviously life gets in the way. And my guest for this episode is Big Brody Marshall. How are you today, mate?
Good, Toddy. Yourself, mate?
I am good, mate. Better to talk to you, put it that way.
Oh, thank you, sir. And likewise, my friend. Likewise.
So how are things going with you? You good?
Things are going well. No, they're going real well, mate. I'm doing well. My wrestling career is going well, and my life in general is going well, mate. So, well, let's say well, it's well.
You seem to have found the love of a good woman. So
I have, mate. That probably helps. Which is, it's rare. I've had a few bad women in my life, but now I've found a good woman. So I'm very happy that I've found a good one. So it's made my life a lot smoother and a lot easier.
Yes, I used to say to my wife, it took me seeing all those bad women to realize how good you are.
Do you know what? That's like, as I know that's a bit of tongue in cheek, but like that's legitimately true. Yeah. So I think having a couple of bad apples in your life isn't such a bad thing for the future. So, yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree with that statement.
So, as with your wrestling, I know you've had some setbacks with injury. How did that go with your mental health as well? Because I know everything sort of ties into that, sort of plays on your mind in some sort of way, shape, or form. How did you handle that?
So I had a World Series wrestling match with Abyss. Myself, Maddie, Grim Basso, Zach, Sabbath, and Abyss had a match, and it was a simple thing. I just got clotheslined over the ropes onto a stage. So rather than dropping to the where you normally fall to the ground, there was actually a stage right next to the ring. So sort of misjudged it in regards to me landing. Mm-hmm. Landed on my knees and I tore my PCL, and that was in the first couple of minutes of the match. So didn't want to be I couldn't bend my leg, so I didn't want to be a bloody pussy. So I I kept going on with the match. When do you wrestle Abyss? You never do. So I kept going with the match. Went through a hardcore match, which was they're fun, and you can hide things in a hardcore match pretty easy. Went on with the match, came backstage at the end. Abyss loved it, which was the highlight of my life. Came back and I seriously just couldn't bend my leg. So was that I knew something was wrong.
Sorry, was that the one? Was that the pay per view one that Maddie got wrecked on as well? That match?
No. He was in another hardcore match the first time Abyss came in. Oh, okay. So this was Abyss's almost like farewell tour before he went to WWE. So, and look, I mean, honestly, to get the comments, feedbacks, and hugs that we got from Abyss after, it was all worth it. I'd do money again in a heartbeat. Like, that was so good.
At least it was the PCL, not the ACL or the MCL. Totally.
So, but I was out of wrestling for 3 months, and it's never fun sitting on the sidelines. You get very itchy. You want to get out there. You want to wrestle yourself. So it's never fun just sitting backstage and watching guys do what they do when you want to be out there yourself. So look, for me, I'm in a different space than I was when I talked about me going through my stuff. So I look at the world in a much different with a much different set of glasses on that I used to. In regards to now, whatever happens, happens. I'm very, like, I used to be, why is this happening to me? This is my fault. I've done this. I've bloody whatever. Now I'm of the mindset that, look, if this is the cards I've been dealt, this is what I have to deal with. So let's just play the game. So for me, that's the sort of mentality that has kept me pretty positive throughout the whole thing. Look, I've got a lot going on in my life at the moment. And honestly, I haven't been able to dedicate myself to wrestling as much as what I used to. But in saying that, I'm with Gods and Monsters, which is myself, Maddie, and Mickey Fortune. We're going really well with the tag champs for Riot City at the moment. We're loving what we're doing, and we're just having a whole heap of fun. And I think I said this many times in the previous podcast, when this doesn't become fun for me anymore, that's the day I stop. So, yeah. And also with wrestling, I mean, for those that aren't that closely associated with it, it's one of the most political bloody minefields. I've played footy, I've played a whole heap of stuff, and I can see you fully agreeing with me, Toddy. It is one of the most political things that you'll ever be a part of, but I just distance myself from that and just have fun with actually being out there and entertaining a crowd. Look, I don't know, like there's a lot of internet warriors and all that sort of stuff out there, but it's fun and I enjoy it, and I go out there with my mates and we beat the shit out of each other and we have the best time. So yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. So I think I'm having the problem at the moment, and it's something I have to manage, where I feel like I need to try and help everybody, if that makes any sense. And it leaves me no time to do stuff that I want to do. Like for instance, this podcast. Like I haven't done it for a month because I was so busy doing all these other things that I don't get around to being able to do this, which then makes me feel bad about not doing this. Sort of like that vicious cycle that keeps going.
Totally. And I fully understand. And look, once you've been in a position where you are in a dark place and you come out of that, you want to help others. And I found that with myself. And, I mean, mate, you and I had a friend pass recently and you just wish you were there. You're able to be there for him should he have reached out. So
yeah.
It's tough, but you never want to be that. I think once you've been there, you know what has helped you pull yourself out of it, or at least helped you in some sort of way. So you want to offer that back to people that are in that position as well.
Yeah.
So, well, that's what I find anyway, mate. So, I've reached out to total strangers before just because they've put up something on social media or I've heard them say something, and you know, just having a discussion. And I can only relay my experience to other people, and what works for me doesn't necessarily work for other people, but I kind of figure if I can help someone, and if I somehow make someone's day brighter, or heaven forbid I prevent something really bad, self-harm or anything like that, then I'm going to put myself out there to make that happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know for a fact, and I won't say who it was, one of our friends actually reached out to me after the thing happened with our friend. Well, I'll just say after that happened with Josh.
Josh.
And was very on the edge themselves, and I sort of like had to talk them out of that. I had to say, look at what everyone else, how everyone is feeling at the moment for that. So that's not the answer. It's not the, there's,
no.
Your world is always better to have you in it.
Totally. And like, I mean, I can only vouch for myself. Like in the last podcast around this, the depression discussion, I openly stated that I'd thought about it.
Mm. Which blew me away, and, by the way.
But the thing is, you never know what people are going through. No. People can put on the happiest bloody. I mean, I've had five people in my life commit suicide through depression, and I can say with three of them, I knew that it was there. With two of them, not a clue. Came out of nowhere. So. But look, looking back now, if me now could talk to me back then, just saying, and look, I mean, obviously I didn't go through it, I'm here talking with you now, but but if I, like, it gets better, it really does, even though when there's like the darkest, deepest hole that you're in, it gets better, it really does, and it may take, shit, people go through this for years and years and years. I'm lucky it wasn't years and years and years.
Yeah.
But I've really fought with everything I had to pull myself out of it. So, and that's another thing, mate. Like, if you're not willing to help yourself get out of it, and if you don't have the drive, you'll sit in it for longer. And I know that once again, when you're in it, these words mean nothing. Like, yeah, once again, you know as well, mate. Once you're in that depression, no matter what people say, you don't absorb it. It doesn't feel it. But if you have the drive to pull yourself out of it, you not necessarily will completely, but you'll get yourself to a level where it's controllable and sustainable.
Yeah. See, I was lucky where I never went down that darker road, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
My depression was linked to the fact that I'd lost people.
Yeah, and completely.
That's a lot of it was. And then with the whole being scared I was going to die, that was another thing. And I figured if I'm scared I'm going to die, I obviously don't want to do anything to stop me living. So
yeah, totally.
It's just a matter of just working through it. And does, like you said,
how do you work through it? How did you work through it?
Spending time with my wife, to be perfectly honest with you, mm-hmm. just hanging out with her and laughing, yep. and you realize that, like, if I'm depressed about something that's happening in wrestling, I realize it's not the fucking end of the world.
No,
it's no. really,
it really, it really is. Yeah, it's funny. Look, I mean, we all love wrestling. We fucking love it. And we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't, because I can tell you now, you get paid fuck all. You spend more money than you make.
Yes.
And you're putting yourself out there with no insurance, no medical benefits, none of this. You're out there to entertain, and that's it. And seriously, we go out there and we do the stupidest shit for other people's entertainment, and not just that, for the love that we have for it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, wrestling doesn't pay my bills. Wrestling doesn't, and this took my knee to sort of wake me up a little bit to this. Wrestling doesn't pay my bills. Wrestling doesn't support my kids. All this sort of stuff, like, doesn't keep my house. Like, I have a lovely house, and I'm like, wrestling has not contributed to that. So in the scheme of things, it's not that big. It's a hobby.
Yeah.
It's a hobby for 99.9% of us, and it's. It's sort of a reality and a sustainable monetary reality for a very small percentage of the people actually doing it.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize that. With me anyway, I work a 40-hour a week job, but when I come home, I'm pretty much working some way, shape, or form on wrestling straight away as soon as I get home, sort of thing. So I never really took time just for.
Yeah.
Because I was always like, well, I should do this. I need to. Do you know what I mean?
And totally. And that's how you burn yourself out, mate.
Yeah. And you know for a fact, just by like being around me when I do that stuff, when I do that sort of thing, like booking all that, I'm all in with it. I give it my all because I want to be
the mate, best. More than most. So.
I just want it to be the best it can be. I believe in the guys that I back. Because the way I see it, anyone I put my name on, that carries everything that I was trained, or the people that I was trained by, or do you know what I mean? So I always took that as a great responsibility, that I shouldn't just go, yeah, this guy's fine. Because then, in my mind, it would play back on Maddie and Cree and all that. Because this guy said he's from those guys. And do you know what I mean? I was always conscious of that being led back to him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So,
I think that's something that we're like, once again, mate, it's not sheep stations that we're wrestling.
No.
It's
a hobby. That's what I have to sit back every now and then and just tell myself.
Yeah, totally. Right. And look, mate, we're probably the two, well, Matt Rott,
yeah.
Crackers. Other than that, I think we're the two oldest in bloody. No, I think I'm older than Crackers, but I think we're like the oldest. We're the elder statesmen in wrestling, so it's just, mate, I'm 41 and I'm still doing this, and I'm starting to not slow up, but I'm not taking it as full on as what I used to.
Yeah.
just for the fact that I honestly don't know how long I've got left of this. This might be my last year. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but I've taken a step back, and I've told the boys that at RCW, taken a step back just for my own. I've got outside things going on outside of wrestling that that I take my life just to take a step back, and for my own mental health, just take a step back. So, you got to weigh up your priorities. At the end of the day, you have to look after you. And if that's stepping away from something, or even maybe looking like the bad guy for not committing as much as what you used to, for your own sanity, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sort of, I'm always cursing the fact in the role I'm in, I can just keep doing it because it's not really a physical toll. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, yeah. It's like if I walk away from it, yeah.
Oh, look, mate. There's some days where I will. There's some shows that I've been to. I'm like, I just don't want to be here. I don't want to be here at all. And then you're going through the motions. You still need to be on. So you're going, pull yourself out of it. Be better. Just bloody suck it up. Get into the moment. Whatever. As soon as you go through those curtains, bang, it's on. Like your whole thing changes. Then you come back and you're like, I want to do this forever. This is the best thing ever.
Yeah. And it is amazing. We talked before we started recording about it, and it's amazing how some shows you can walk away from just going, this is fucking great, I want to do this forever. Then there's other shows that just kick you in the guts and you're like, I don't, why do I do this? Seriously.
Yep.
As much as I put into it, why do I do this?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But
It's a...
Yeah.
Go on.
No, it's the nature of the beast. It's something that you've had
to sort
of, you've got to weigh it up with yourself.
Mate, we both started at the same time. We've been doing this for years now. And once again, if this was like, I can tell you now, like this is I'm coming into my ninth year of doing this, and it's
which is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane. That's gone so quick. Gone so quick.
And I started so late.
Yeah.
I started later. So, because I'm yeah, well, you did.
My body couldn't take it. So late.
It was like, I remember the tryout like it was yesterday, man. It was so good.
Yeah, because so, you're laughing at me.
Only four of us. You were throwing up a lot. It was great.
I threw up a lot. But thumbs up the whole time.
Sorry?
I was thumbs up the whole time.
You were, mate. You were. The fact you had a meat pie 15 minutes before we went into the training.
That wasn't the smartest move. And the fact that I thought that Del Toreno was also a trainee, and I couldn't believe how good he was for never doing this before.
Because we'd never seen him maskless before.
No. I'm like, fuck, he's getting these roles perfect. How is he doing this? Yeah.
Who's this kid? He's
great.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God. So long ago, man. So long ago.
Far out.
Well, what a ride it's been. Like, it's literally been up and down.
Yeah.
And mate, when we started, wrestling was not... God, we're going into a nostalgia podcast now.
Yeah.
The opportunities were just not there than what the I'm going to say, kids have today. Like, it's ridiculous. The amount of doors that can get opened, it's unbelievable.
Well, like the big thing back then was being able to get booked interstate. If you could get booked interstate on a regular basis.
Sonjay Dutt came down and we thought it was like the biggest thing in the world. And look, no, at the time it was, and it was great, and we actually learned a fair bit.
Yeah.
Bit from his seminars. But then, I don't know, I've been in the ring with...
Well, here we go.
Bloody...
Drop a name.
X-Pac.
Yeah, okay.
Brian Cage. Brian Cage three times. But just to have... Joe Ryan. Just to have matches with Abyss. Just to say that I've been in the ring with those guys and just been around people like the Briscoes. Those dudes were the best, the headbangers. My God, like... I've made lifelong friends out of wrestling. I still talk to, especially the headbangers, on a regular basis. Glenn and Chaz are the great dudes. So it's the the benefits of wrestling far outweigh just going out there and performing.
Yeah, yeah. And the way I used to explain it to some people when they're like, oh, why do you do it? I'm like, well, you know how you play footy? And they're like, yeah. So, well, how many times have you played footy and come off the ground and a kid's wanted your autograph?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Like,
it never happens.
Never. No.
And in my role, I love the fact that I can be somewhere totally away from wrestling and a person will walk up to me and say, my son said to say that you suck. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reward right there, mate. My wife's exactly.
Like, do you know that person? Said, no, but they know me.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some dude in Japan that draws fan art pretty much with just of me. Mm. Now look,
hasn't someone got a tattoo of you or your logo?
Yeah, my initials BBM. Yeah. So yeah, a young lady has a tattoo of BBM on her back. So. Yeah, just things like that, which I find absurdly crazy.
Yeah.
So, but that's the fans that we have, and good on them. Like, I mean, if that's what they love, that's what they love, and I will never begrudge that. But look, I find it a little bit crazy because I'd never do it myself. But people find that I'm interesting enough for that to happen, that I've touched someone in some sort of way. Not sexually, but just in some sort of... just in some sort of way where they've someone's done enough to put ink on their body and someone's done enough to draw fan art of me. So I just and other things. Other people have done other things, and I don't want to disclude them. But just those two are like it's pretty crazy to think that. I'm just a humble dude here sitting in my house, bloody chilling out, working a 9-to-5 job, and just have people that think of me enough to do that sort of stuff. It's pretty insane.
Like it's still. Even to this day, it amazes me that people want to pay like $20 a head to come and watch one of our shows, especially one that I've booked or like it's my running storyline through it. That's still like it amazes me.
People are paying. Yeah, people are paying to see our art and our creativity. That's what they're doing, and us. Like, I mean, putting our bodies on the line. And sure, look, we're bloody sexy as fuck. But other than that, like you know. But in all seriousness, $20 is an absolute bargain for
nowadays.
3+ hours of entertainment where dudes are just putting their balls to the wall to entertain you.
Go out
and see your live wrestling.
You know me, I'm a fucking tight ass. I'm like, $20? Fuck.
I want 3 hours of entertainment and I want to see people through ladders for $20.
Oh, fuck. That is crazy when you think about it.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And we go out there and do it. I've always, like me and Maddie were having this conversation, how silly are we? We go out there and we will put ourselves through a ladder, a table, tacks, cut ourselves, all this sort of stuff for fun. That is our fun.
Mm.
We'll get beat up, our bodies are sore, our bloody wrestlers are a different breed. And I think unless you've never stepped in the ring, you don't fully understand it. Just bumping alone, I couldn't work a full time roster in wrestling because my body's too old to be bumping all the time. So, like people like Demi Bennett, who I love, great mate, and just a bloody soul to the earth person. She's out there living her dream and bumping every night. Yeah. So, good on her. And
but then
she's also
22 years younger or 20 years younger.
Yeah, mate. Very young. Yeah, very young.
Yeah.
Good luck to her. Yeah. Good luck to her. Yeah. So,
and that's the thing. Like, I don't know how do you feel about being, you're backstage, and then you realize all these guys and girls are like 20 years younger than you.
Good. Like, I don't feel
like I'm 20 years older. But I know I am. Do you know what I mean? It's just
But mentally, I'm the same age.
Yeah, You can ask my wife. I'm younger.
Oh, look! At the end of the day, mate, I even us winning the tag belts. If I never won another belt or anything like that, I don't care. Now, like I'm in the pass the torch stage. I went from I think I went for 2 years, 2.5 years or something, being undefeated. So, was like, whatever.
End of that.
You did. Oh, mate. Oh, mate, Brooks. Look, it. Just I'll insert here. Brooksy, the best dude in the world, great wrestler.
Yes.
Every time I come on a podcast, I have to push Brooksy's barrow because it's just the thing. Yes. He's an absolute fucking legend. Love the bloke to death. Wish him all the success. Yes. Anyway, enough about Brooksy's gun. I want to be like, if I lost for the next bloody however long I've got in wrestling, I don't care. I just want to. Wins and losses don't mean shit to me anymore. Having the belts isn't as it's important. Don't get me wrong; I still hold it dearly, but it's not as important as what it once was. I would rather someone else have it that is going to succeed and has a chance to succeed than what I would. I'd rather help that person develop, grow. Even like when I hang out the boots, I'd love to still sit in the background and offer my opinions.
You can sit next to Joe. Help.
Sit next to
Joe. You sit next to Joe.
No, he can only see half of the show anyway. He's one of...
So you can say that because he probably doesn't know how to download these.
I'll tell him what's happening on the other side of the ring.
Yeah.
But no, just it's for me now. It's about I get much more joy out of training and helping develop guys than I do taking any sort of glory, because that's not what it's about for me anymore.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be humble and in the background.
Yeah, my biggest thrill is when somebody does something that I said, like if you do this, will get this reaction.
Yeah,
and it comes off exactly the way I said, and the crowd like that. Yeah. That to me is better than like if I went out there and people popped for something I did.
Oh, totally. I think that's. I think it's much, and you get this when you get older, mate. It's greater to give than receive, sort of thing. So I'd rather, once again, develop the future than put the glory on myself.
Mm. And who have you got over there at the moment that you can see coming? Cause you always get a good turnover of the younger guys and that sort of thing. And you do have a crop of young guys now coming through Riot City. Who do you see as the guys in the next couple of years that will be eventually? Like the U's and the Maddies and the, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a couple of lads that are really good right now. That look, I think Gabriel Eros is Tommy is going to be an absolute star. That bloke's going to shoot through the moon. Like he's ridiculous. He'll be next level. I think young a guy called Kit Condor who wrestles for us. He's sensational. We got a young bloke. He's sort of come in just character wise. He's down under, so he's got this real gimmick. Mega, the best mullet on earth. This mullet is his mullet alone is bloody worth coming paying the ticket for admission to have a look at that. But just his character. You know, another person who's not even a wrestler is Jimmy C. That bloke is ridiculous, and his mind and his comedy is brilliant. So, and you've got people that have come back like Steve Miller, who is an absolute gun wrestler, like ridiculous. And he's really found he's starting to open his character up, being alongside someone like Jimmy C. So, for those RCW fans, I know that Steve's gone and come back a couple of times, but this time he's really. I think he's found his niche and he's really enjoying what he's doing, especially with Jimmy, who's just, like I said, his brain for wrestling is fantastic.
Do you know what I think it was? And the one thing about Jimmy is I remember telling him, stop bumping so fucking much.
Yeah, right. Like for sure.
The first 6 months I reckon I saw him there, he bumped every show he was on. I'm like, stop bumping! You're giving it away! You're making it hard for us! Stop that!
For sure. that's wrestling psychology. That's what it's all about.
And the thing with Miller too is I think Miller was always so super serious.
Yes.
And I think this is sort of, sometimes it takes going that opposite direction to come back and find, because I reckon that's what happened with Kree as well. When Kree was Mimic, he was that character. When he sort of evolved into world class and then like brought a little bit of comedy into it as well. It was able to loosen up a bit. I think it added so much more depth to the gimmick.
Yes, totally. I totally agree. And look, I mean, even with myself, I didn't find my, I don't know what you want to call it, happy place, bloody, I don't know, your niche, your bloody, your groove or whatever in wrestling until I turned heel. And then I was like, holy shit, this all comes together. So, and just knowing wrestling psychology is so part of it. I mean, we were talking just before this about you'll go see a card and every match is the same. All of them have got high spots and whatever. By the end, the show means nothing. Or by the main event, you're like, I've seen all this shit the last bloody four matches, five matches, whatever it is. Card placement and psychology.
Variety,
yeah, exactly. If you've got 500 technical wrestlers on your show and they're all doing the same thing, once again, by the last match, people are bored with it and they're like, same old shit, do you know what I mean? So variety is key to it. Yeah. Variety is a spice of life. It's so,
I know I learned a lot about it by being the straight-laced ring announcer. And then moving into, I think you could tell when I moved into being like the heel manager, I sort of opened, it opened up my world a lot more. I knew how to play things and I could play things with a little bit of comedy, but still be an arsehole.
But with you as well, I think it opened up, you've always had like a ridiculously, like one of the best minds in wrestling, in Australian wrestling.
Oh, thank you.
But I think for you, it opened that up even further. It gave you license to be more creative with your character and what you were doing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
that's and, what I saw from the outside in anyway.
And also, with, like, I always feel like being a heel gives you an opportunity to make someone like a face.
Yep.
And that
for sure
was always. I know when Cree and I worked together, every time we did something was always to try and make the face at the end of the day bigger. To make when they finish working with us. They're on that higher level, if you know what I mean.
It's what it's all about, and this is
and it's one something thing I don't about, think people understand sometimes.
No, you've got to. I mean, wrestling is full of egos. It that's the name. And if you don't have an ego, you won't be successful at wrestling. You just won't. It's not what it's about. You need some sort of ego in there.
Yeah.
But you've also got to have the maturity to understand that wins and losses mean shit unless you've got a belt. And also that you're there to do a job for whatever reason. Yeah. So if you're the heel, it may not always, like heels can go out and totally obliterate people and that's to get them over. But your job in major matches is to also make the face look strong and things like that. It depends what your role is, obviously. But it's very much a team game. If you go in there totally solo, you'll become like a fucking space boy, spaceman where no one gives a fucking shit. So, so it's just one of those things where you got to play your part.
I agree. It's sort of like the one thing that does annoy me is that when I hear, like, you have a baby face say, "Oh, why am I? I've been losing this, and why am I losing?" And I have to go, "Because you're going to win here. We've got to build up that need for that crowd to want to see you finally give it to that bad guy and finally come up and." When you can't win, if you win every time, people are going to get bored.
100%.
Different for a heel, because if you win every time by cheating, they're going to still keep coming back because they want to see you eventually get your come up.
The revenge. Yeah. It's old 70s wrestling mentality, but just revamped for today. Look, I this is one thing that International Assault taught me, or sorry, World Series Wrestling taught me, is that the indie style is very different. And, you know, we used to get told, like I'm 6'6", don't do a moonsault, or don't do anything like that, or don't do a cartwheel, or whatever the fuck it is, because you're too big. That sort of, it's not totally out of the window, but a lot of that mentality is sort of by the wayside now. Bigger dudes and smaller dudes are doing things that they never would have done.
Yeah.
But there still is an element of psychology in there that still needs to be portrayed, and a story like, I mean, it's Home and Away with violence. People are there for the story.
And I'm out.
And the characters. You're flaming glass. Yeah. So, yeah. But that's what it's about. So, and it's what, characters and storyline is what gets bums in seats. The wrestling is a side product, and the moves are a side product of what the storyline and the moments are.
Yes.
It's about moments, mate.
But well, the thing is, people are going to remember a really good match, but
yes,
they're not going to remember every match. So if every match is an unbelievable fucking New Japan, like, you know what I mean, like Okada versus Omega, that's just, it's all going to be same. It's not going to,
exactly,
do that. But
yep.
But if you've got a character, if you've got a certain thing that you do in a match that the people will pop for, that is what brings them back. And that's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember that really good main event, but you're supposed to remember that main event. It's the guys underneath that doing the extra little things that make them stand out.
Well, yeah, theoretically, I mean, look, it doesn't always work this way, but theoretically, in the very, very basic terms, the whole show should build up to the main event. Look, that's, once again, that's a very basic structure of how a show should go, but it's not always like that, obviously. Yeah. But the main event is the main event for a reason. And that should be your best guys or your up-and-coming guys that you're pushing to the moon to really shine.
Yeah, so, well, I had... Here's a little bit of inside baseball. I had, the other week, we were for our AWA show, I had Jake Nova and Robbie Eagles second from the end. So just after Inter, sort of like before there's Inter, them, then two matches. Because I wanted to put an importance on the two titles, our two singles titles that we have, that was above that. Those other guys in the card came up to me and went, can we not follow those two, please?
Yeah.
And one of them was Rocky. Rocky's like, I am not following Robbie fucking Eagles. And I'm like, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, fair call. Yeah. So... Oh, but look, I mean, I won't name the guys, but we had a World Series Wrestling show where guys went on in a dark match, and they tore the house down with the match. They came back and they got chewed out by the guys from the States because that wasn't their role on the card.
Yeah.
So, the guy said to him, like, you've gone out, you've done that. Now, how do we follow that? So you're going to have we have to. You've set the bar up here already in what was a dark match. And look, I get what the guys were trying to do. They were trying to impress. They were trying to get themselves over, which is great. But in the scheme of things, you're a dark match. You're there just to warm the crowd up.
Mm.
And then you start with the show and you go from there. Yeah. So
do one or two little things that'll make you stand out, but just have a normal match.
Exactly.
Don't
exactly.
Don't do a Tower of Doom spot.
I think there was one of those in that. But there was a lot of things in there. So, and I felt sorry for the guys. I just think it was a lack of education on their part. Yeah. But and that's the thing with Australian wrestling as well. I think there's some feds out there that just don't know, and it's you don't know what you don't know, and people are trying to do the right thing, and I just think it gets lost, that's all.
Also, I think sometimes between states there can be a very different style of working.
Totally. Oh God, 100%. So, I mean, there's very much a South Australian form of wrestling in regards to the way that we wrestle compared to the Melbourne style. So,
yeah.
And that's it is what it is. Neither, look, they both have their pros and cons, don't get me wrong, but it's just different with the mentality that with the wrestlers that like come into state to here to our sort of, I just feel, and look, this right or wrongly, I feel like we're more structured with our matches and play to our cards better than what some other federations or states do. So, but that's my own biased South Australian opinion. So,
you can't see this, but on video I just got a knowing nod. And it looks like you've got more wisdom because of the beard. It adds
the beard
wisdom. It adds wisdom.
Yeah, it does.
I'm trying to get some wisdom right now.
Oh mate, look, I'll be honest with you. We can totally shoot here. I'm too old to give a shit. Like I don't within wrestling, I don't care if I piss people off because it doesn't mean shit to me. My life carries on regardless. So I am happy doing what I'm doing. People don't like what I'm doing or they don't like what I say. You can fuck off because it's my passion and I do it with people that I love. So and if you don't like it, you can stress yourself to death because I don't care.
Yeah.
So I just enjoy. I know what I know. I know what I know that people like. and I will play to that card and play to that aspect and fully respect the people that I'm doing it with. But yeah, there's a lot of, once again, as I stated before, there's a lot of politics in wrestling, and there's a lot of fuckwits out there that have no fucking idea what they're talking about, that like to say their 2 cents, and they've never actually stepped in a ring, they've never bumped, they don't know what it's like, they are happy sitting on their couch tossing themselves off to bloody Sasha Banks or something and not actually understanding what we do. So yeah.
That being said, there are some guys that haven't stepped in the ring that still do.
Not saying that at all, yeah. Because there are some really knowledgeable blokes out there that that I have respect with what they say, because look, there's a lot of dudes in wrestling behind the scenes that aren't wrestlers that have great knowledge within the business. Mm. So, you know, look at Rowan. Rowan is the perfect case in point. Yeah. So Mikey J, he's running a wrestling fan. He's never wrestled before, but he knows what he's talking about. So yeah. It's people like that that
Mikey's also smart enough that he puts guys in roles that know what they're doing.
Exactly. Hey, the reverse happens as well. You've got people that are in the ring that are dumb as two fucking sticks that don't know what they're talking about. So, and you've got senior guys bad-mouthing other guys that have no fucking idea what they're talking about. So, we are Australian wrestling. We should all support each other. Look, you've got shit feds, you've got shit people. That you're never gonna stop it. But we are a small group of people that are trying to do the same thing. So I don't know why we just don't fucking help each other, because that's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of infighting and a lot of bullshit that just is unnecessary for how small and how, once again, we don't make money off of this.
No.
We're not making money. We're not making enough to sustain a living off of. So no. Don't get me wrong. People are making money, but they're not living off of this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and if they are, they're not living a high life, I can tell you that much. So, yeah. So it's just like, let's bloody help each other. There's too much bullshit in Australian wrestling.
Mm. No, I know. I know. I know for a fact. Just up here, anyway. Pro Wrestling League and AWA. AWA is who I book for and who I help. I sort of help run. PWL is run by two other guys that we think along the same lines, if that makes sense to you. We're on the same fucking wavelength, and we both, all four of us, want Queensland Wrestling to come up and be as strong as possible, so we work together. There are other feds up here that don't want to work with anyone else, that just think that they can self-sustain and that's it, and I don't know how they think that in the long run it's going to work for them. I just don't. It's much easier to work together and to help each other out than it is to get in each other's way.
It really is. And wrestling fans are wrestling fans. You'll have some that will go to only, look, let's take South Australia. Some that will only go to PWSA, some that will only go to Rampage, and some that will only go to Riot City. But then you got the majority that will go to all three because they're wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Our one job in this whole friggin' thing is to try and get non-wrestling fans to come and watch wrestling. That's what we should be doing. And that's what we should all be striving for, to build it up, because everyone wins if we get more outsiders coming in.
Yeah.
So keeping it to your own little segment. Sorry, go.
I had this very argument with someone about WWE and AEW sort of thing. He was going on how he felt as a wrestling fan. He was insulted about certain things that happened on SmackDown or something like that. And I just said to him, but they've got you. They don't have to cater to you because they have you. No.
Yes.
You're already there. They need those guys that are just tuning in to see what SmackDown is and go, oh, shit, this is what it is. I'll watch it again next week. They've already got you. And as much as you complain about it, you watch it again next week.
Yep. Just to complain about it.
Just to complain about it.
there's some people that do that, and good on them. That's their right. Whatever. But I just know in Australian wrestling, we have a certain amount of fans, and they're not, it's not a huge number. And I think we can all build on that without cutting our own selves in the throat or whatever, or cutting each other's throats to try and make that happen.
Yes.
I know that, look, I'm part of Riot City, and I'll talk about Riot City. We're taking people in from other feds at the moment, and some are just training with us, just training. That's all they're doing, because we're opening that up to try and make it better within this state. So we want to give more people opportunities. If other feds don't like that, go fuck yourself. So we're trying to help develop and grow wrestling within our state, because it's a small audience, especially in Adelaide. It's a small audience. We're trying to develop and grow it. Look what Bonds has done in New South Wales with Nui Pro and PWA. He's grown both of those feds. And look, it's not just him, but I'm just giving him the – he's an outstanding figure in it.
Yeah.
He's helped grow those two feds to become absolute juggernauts. And really, like, they're a couple of the best feds in Australia because of what he's brought to the table to a certain point, and what they've built and the knowledge and the business acumen that he's got to try and build it. It could have been Nui and PWA, and they could have been enemies, and just stayed stagnant. But they've almost semi joined forces, share talent, all that sort of stuff to grow it as a business.
Yeah.
And one of my favourite feds outside of Adelaide is PCW. I've never wrestled there. I've only been there. I know I've met Steve several times. I think he's a great bloke, but I just love it. They packed out a stadium of 2,500 people or something like that. And put on a cracker show with not one international. It was their own group, and just their own talent and what they've built inside. And I just think that sort of stuff is what we should all be striving for.
Yeah.
So
I had this sort of conversation with the guy that runs AWA not too long ago, because we had we had a slow pre-sale for tickets.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't fucking like terrible, but it wasn't great for the way we were charting, and he was very upset about this. And I said, mate, do you remember 3 years ago when I rocked up and I came to one of your first shows? He said, yeah. He goes, how many pre-sales did you have for that show? He goes, oh, I had three. He said, you had three pre-sale tickets, and now you're upset because — I won't say the number — now you're upset because a lot more of that you've got now.
Yes,
but it's still not enough for you. So don't be upset about it, just think of ways we're going to grow it. Or look at what else is on at that time.
Look, I mean, outside of wrestling, I'm very businessly minded. That's what I do as a job. Like, I help develop businesses, and I run several stores, except all this sort of shit.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it purely as a business point of view, here's an example. So let's say you sell fucking furniture, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put a store in a shopping mall, you would think the worst thing that you could do is have another furniture store in there, in that same shopping precinct or whatever. It actually helps you, because you're getting people that will come directly to that store and then come and look at your store because they want to see other options.
Yeah.
So you're going to get more eyes on both products just because you're there. So it's about... Not necessarily. You can still be separate businesses. That's not what I'm saying. But having more than one flavor of ice cream is a very good thing for states, territories, whatever you want to fucking call it.
Yes, a rising tide helps all ships.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally.
What originally started as a mental
shit, we went on a tangent.
I'm fucking great at this hosting, I tell you.
sorry, bro, I took over.
What originally started as that ended up being quite a conversation about professional wrestling, which is great. Because, you know, apparently that's what this podcast is about. As much
but going back to the mental health thing, I'm doing well. Life is great. And it's just, I'm just working on myself and trying to help others along the way as I do it. So it's positive, and I'm remaining positive, and I'm still working on it. It's not that I'm better. I work on it all the time, and I actively keep myself motivated and keep myself working on it to stay where I am.
Hmm. And this is it. Friday, this Friday, isn't it, at HQ?
It is this Friday. We have a
massive show, really, when you think about it. You've got you guys in the Nations, Then you got
yes.
I nearly said they shoot.
Got some monsters in the nation.
I nearly see shooting them every time. Rocky and Chris Basso in the main event, and those two always have amazing yes. matches. So
yeah. There's some really good matches on this card. And HQ is a venue that is for those that don't know Adelaide. It's a it's the real sort of it's on the main. It's on like your King's Cross. It's on the main street of Adelaide, and it's a really big venue with huge screens everywhere. It's just the production is WWE worthy, that's for sure. Yeah. So it's right, it's off tap.
Those have seen.
Yeah, mate. Come down, bro.
I'm gonna try.
We'll get you on there. So, but yeah, these are our pay per views, if you want to call it that. They're our big ones. So. We really enjoy them. It's a great vibe backstage, and we're just happy to entertain.
Yeah, hit up the Riot City Wrestling Facebook page, or is the Riot City Wrestling website just riotcitywrestling.com.au? Is that the website?
I believe so.
Yeah. Type into Google; it'll show up on Google. I don't even know.
Yeah, we're the only Riot City Wrestling.
Legit, I don't know why people even bother giving out web addresses nowadays. I mean, you should just say, "Look, put us in Google; you'll find us." It's so much easier to remember this.
Honestly, for content and what's going on, Facebook and Instagram are probably the two that honestly, I think there's Twitter as well, but I don't do Twitter very well.
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, that's my age.
The most action my Twitter gets is because I've got it linked to my Instagram.
Oh, I need to do that because I'm on Instagram all the time. Yeah. I need to work that out. But just look up Riot City on Instagram and Facebook. They're like you're going to get the details and whatnot from there. And look, I don't think I'm being biased here. We put on a bloody good show. Mm. So and it's our production and entertainment and our standard of wrestling is up there with any sort of stuff you're going to see in Australia.
And if you want a taste of it before even going to a show, check out their YouTube channel because Riot City
definitely
have a YouTube channel which gets updated very frequently. So I think you've got the
we put our shows out for free, so if people can just watch them. So there's no drama around that. I'm not sure, but I know that we're going to do a whole heap more. We did a live stream for our live show, our live event, sorry, which is our house show.
House show.
Jed Armstrong. There you go. that's like our dedicated fans come to those shows. They're a much smaller show, but we are going to be streaming a lot more and just getting our sort of stuff out there. We've got some really top notch guys on production, like the quality and the video quality, sound and production of our live event was amazing. And once again, I'm not saying that just to say it. I actually watched it back live while I was backstage, just thinking, holy crap, this quality's sensational. So we've got some really good people on board now. We've got a whole new marketing division. Cree and Maddie are really taking the ball and running with it. So for those that don't know, they own Riot City Wrestling. So they're really taking the company in a whole new business direction, and it's really starting to pay off for all of us, which is great.
Yes, it's amazing. And I'm forever proud to say that I am from Riot City Wrestling.
Yeah, bloody oath, mate. You are. You're one of us.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for joining me, mate, and we will chat soon.
Big Brody Marshall on Instagram. Oh, yes, just go ahead and follow me, please.
Rusty. Very rusty.
Honestly. And if you ever want to hit me up, send me a message. I'm happy to chat with anyone. I just, if you want to talk to a jaded old man.
And I'm busy going to talk to him.
Dude, always a pleasure chatting with you, mate. You're a good friend of mine, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man.
Some people say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet, and in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Brady Marshall. Yeah, not only one of my best friends in the business, one of my best friends in life, just a great guy. And I don't know why I put off talking to my friends as much as I do. I think I just go a little bit too insular sometimes and I don't catch up with mates. And I really should get to doing that more often, because after I talked to Brady, last night is when we recorded this for, I don't know if that makes any sense. On Wednesday is when we recorded this. And after we talked for an hour or so, well, we talked for longer than that, but after we talked for an hour or so on the podcast, after I hung up with him and sort of sat back, I felt just a lot better, if you know what I mean. And it really is true. Talking about stuff and just catching up with friends can do a world of good when you're feeling a little bit down. And it really did help me. And I hope if you heard it at home, it helped you a little bit too. Once again, though, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Remember, we do have our Wrestle Radio Australia shirts and merch and whatever have you on redbubble.com. Just type in Wrestle Radio Australia when you hit up Redbubble. And all the proceeds, or any of the profits that we get from selling anything on Wrestle Radio Australia, go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that are do great work when it comes to mental illness and suicide prevention and all of that jazz. So big thanks to them for the work that they do. And thank you to everyone that has bought merch from us at WRA, because all of that money you've spent, or all of the profits that you would have went to normally me, are going to a great cause, and that is Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. And that does it for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. Go out and find local pro wrestling in your area. It's not hard to find nowadays. I mean, all you got to do is type it in. Type in Facebook Wrestling Australia. You'll find something that's in your area. Go and check it out, because believe me, it's good to watch it on TV. It's great to watch it the live streaming on OVO and the on demand from MCW and PCW. Now have a network themselves, and Riot City Wrestling do their YouTube channels, and Wrestle Rampage just last weekend streamed their event. It's great to sit at home and watch that. But if you're in the town, if you're in the city, if you can get to a show, go and check it out. Support the local product and support professional wrestling in this country, because it is getting big and you don't want to miss out when it finally does actually burst out big time. Anyway, that's it for this week on Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm Todd Eastman. Be good to each other, and we'll see you next week.